Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by 1,000 miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. Now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy.
Buenas noches, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is Jamie Jordan, and this is a brand new episode of Gaming Uncensored, and I just learned you really shouldn't eat before a show. And of course, Tommy's sitting over there. What's on the show this week, sir?
Tons of stuff. We've got news and news and news. We've got news from Google. We've got news from Apple. We've got news from Microsoft. We've got news from Sony. We've got news from Nintendo. And other stuff. If we get to half of it, I'll be shocked. We got lots to talk about.
We get to half of it? What are you talking about?
Yeah,
this show's an hour long.
I know.
We wouldn't get to half of that when we were 2.5 hours long.
That's the truth. So we'll jump in pretty quick and get to what we can. But we've got a lot to talk about. I'm excited. It's fun stuff.
I am very excited. And I haven't really had time to do a lot because of real life stuff. But I have been struggling with Path of Exile. Duff knows this. He's been in my face because I'm stuck on this one area. I will tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I love this game because last night I had like an hour. And so I re-geared and re-slotted skills and made adjustments, and I think I'm going to get it. All I need is another hour. And I think I've got it. That will make Duff happy because we spent the last 15 hours in this one instance.
Nice.
And I think it's going to happen. So I'm feeling good. I also feel like a loser because that D&D analogy is getting more and more apt every day.
Nice.
So what's up with you, man?
Man, you know, work stuff, that kind of thing. I have played a little bit of Red Dead. That's been exciting. It's not a ton, but it's some. I've just got hooked on the fishing thing, and so I've caught almost all the legendary fish now. So that's fun. And then today, I was playing a little bit this morning. Maybe the craziest thing I think that's happened so far in the game. I just randomly ran across a clan meeting. Like burning cross and all. Was not expecting that. It was a fairly shocking moment in a video game.
Please tell me you got that.
It should. Yeah, it should be there waiting for you. I won't say anything else about it. It's just minor spoiler. It's just like one of those random like side things that happens. It wasn't part of a big quest line or whatever. It was just at night, I was riding my horse, and there was, like, a bunch of torches, and I'm like, what in the world's going on over there? And, like, I roll up, and it's a full-on clan meeting. It was like, what the crap? It was very cathartic. I enjoyed playing that part as terribly awkward as it is to see the clan, like, in a video game. Like, it was cathartic. It was enjoyable. So, yeah, I'm excited for you to see it. It was super random.
I'm excited to see if you shot him in the head.
Like, that would have been too easy. I had a little bit more fun than that.
Well, good. I'm so excited now.
It's like, not often like you get to like beat the tar out of a KKK dude. So yeah, I savored that moment.
Well, I will tell you this. I have been saving up the Red Dead because there's like 3 or 4 videos up there that's probably
almost
2 hours worth. 2 hours worth of video. Maybe, and half of that is the pause screen.
Right.
and so I've been saving it up. But now that you told me that, I'm going to have to make time this week to catch up with the Red Dead.
There is a few other storyline things in there that are pretty great, too. And then, yeah, you could fast forward through the fishing. Fishing's fun. I think it's the best fishing mechanic I've ever played in a video game. I dig it.
Oh, no, you don't understand. It's fun to watch.
Yeah.
it's really fun to watch. Like, I, you and I, well, I will say I don't know about you, but I grew up as, like, fishing as part of my life.
Absolutely.
Like,
yep.
Like, not, like, out in a boat every weekend, but, like, that's something that we did.
Yep.
And,
yeah, it's
and,
good. Many, many years since I've legit gone fishing, but when I was young, even through college, yeah, fishing was a pretty regular thing.
Yeah, and to see this, I mean, it looks like if you've never been fishing, this is what fishing is like. Like, yeah. It's not exaggerated, it's not cheap, it's not easy. This is what going to the lake and putting a line in the water actually feels like.
Except a whole lot faster. That's the one thing. Those fish bite pretty quick. Real life, you sit there for hours without a bite. This one, you get bites pretty quick. But otherwise, the like struggling with the fish. And, yeah, it's cool. It's a good mechanic. They did well with that, like they did with every single thing in the game. Like, it's just so well put together. But they obviously cared to make that a really fun, interesting part of the game, and they succeeded. So. Yeah, it's awesome. I dig it.
I'm so
we have Red Dead news. I doubt we'll get to it, but we'll try.
I'm looking forward to it. I really am. And the Red Dead news we can put back because we know that ain't going nowhere.
Right. Yeah, it's not a priority. Lots of other priorities. So should we jump in? I mean, again, we've got tons to get to. So let's get to getting.
Let's do it.
Get to getting. All right. Before we do that, a quick shout out to the Patreon guys: Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavash, Chad, Zeke, Chris, and Brigham. I have to take a breath in the middle of that list now, which is a really good thing. And so make me have to take 2 breaths in the middle of that list. Go by GameAgainstSister.com, and there's the Become a Patron link right there at the top of the page. And thank you guys so much for your support. As always. So lots of video game news happening in end of March this year. So GDC is happening, and so obviously there's always news that comes around GDC, and this just
it actually happened, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's already here and gone. And it's just a newsy year in general, it feels like. There's going to be console announcements, and we know kind of stuff that's coming. But we're going to start with Google. And so we talked a lot about Project Stream whenever Project Stream had Assassin's Creed Odyssey. Google's now made that an official thing going forward with a name and a plan and all kinds of stuff. Not all the details yet, but they're definitely moving forward in a big way. It's called Stadia. They did a big press event with all kinds of details and stuff about it. It is, quote, the future of gaming is not a box. And, quote, introducing Stadia, a new gaming platform from Google for playing AAA video games across all kinds of screens. That's what they're doing in a nutshell. It's Project Stream, but now a real thing that they're going to charge us for, and we have no idea how much. That's one of the big questions. But it's official. It's something we're going to see a lot more of. And so, what are your thoughts on Stadia?
Couple of things on this. It's wonderful that for those that have the internet. I think it's going to be great. You are one of those people that have the internet. For the rest of us, I think it's just going to piss us off. Because I really feel like They're saying 25 megs to make this work for 4K 60 frames per second. I don't believe that for a second.
Yeah.
I think you can double or triple that to even get close. I really feel like that this is specifically designed, whether you believe it or not. We talk about Valve and how they really appreciate their customers and how they're really customer-centric, or they have been. I think this is designed primarily to boost Google and to move more people to YouTube. I really feel that way because game streaming on YouTube is already a big deal. And I think for streamers that are already out there, this is the major tool that Google wants them to use. For everybody else, maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. But I don't think Google's really concerned about that.
Yeah, so that's maybe the biggest new thing, at least that I got out of their whole announcement, is this kind of focus on the kind of synergy that exists between, or will exist between, Stadia and YouTube and that kind of streaming culture. They talked about how you'll be able to, like, jump into games with people, that, like, there will be, like, a button, you know, on YouTube if you're watching somebody stream a game that's, like, a join now button. And as long as you're in a Chrome browser, that's obviously what you're going to have to use to get there because it's Google. But as long as you're, like, watching YouTube in a Chrome browser, you hit play and it's going to pop up the game and, you know, like a new tab or whatever, and let you jump right in or let you purchase the game or subscribe or whatever. So yeah, they're definitely going to push that synergy between YouTube and this, and it's going to be a big deal in the streaming world, given that streamers have the bandwidth to do it as well. Because that's a big question. The bandwidth is always going to be the thing with this. The reason I'm optimistic, the biggest reason I'm optimistic, is because I participated in Project Stream, and it worked really well for me. And so I've already seen their ability to deliver to my gigabit fiber, which, again, most people don't have at this point. But access is growing, and it's better than it was 5 years ago. And it's going to be better 5 years from now, both in that more people are going to have higher bandwidth and the technology of actually streaming it's going to get better. And so the bandwidth requirements won't continue to be as high. The one thing I don't know how they fix is the latency issue. And so for me, playing a game like Assassin's Creed, I was surprised on how well it worked. But it's not competitive and it's not a shooter. And like in the world of Fortnite, I don't...
Or Call of Duty, or
that kind of stuff, especially with what you're talking about with them trying to appeal to the streaming culture. That's where I see a big, big issue, because if you have any kind of latency on your connection and are hindered, even if you're a great player, like, you can't overcome that, that's going to make competitive games really challenging on this kind of platform. I see it as like the perfect platform to play Civilization on or something like that, you know, like,
right.
Or even again, Assassin's Creed worked great for me. And so I'd play more, you know, action RPGs on this. As shooter, I would be skeptical of, but maybe if I try a shooter on it and it works, then great. But it's the more twitchy the game is, the harder it's going to be to pull off on a service like this. And it feels like twitchy games are the things that people stream.
Well, and the thing with, they also talked about the controller, and I've never seen a company talk more about two buttons in my life. Yeah. And you know which two buttons I'm talking about. They talked and talked and talked about this assistant button and whatever the other button is.
Right.
And I really feel like, let's say, for example, you're playing a shooter. Okay, there's only a handful of shooters out there. And I'm speaking for myself. Let's say that my hands worked and I could use this controller. The way that we grew up, there's only like two or three shooters out there. that I would consider playing with a controller, Halo being one of them. That being said, when the Master Chief Collection comes out, I'd be buying that on PC. Thank you very much. But I really, for me, the question is, are you going to make mouse and keyboard support available, and is it going to work well?
Yeah, and you would imagine, because it is, again, a browser-based platform, that mouse and keyboard is going to be supported on any games that have mouse and keyboard support, that it's going to function like playing PC titles more than console titles would be my expectation of it. But who knows? Like, we don't know at this point. The controller, to me, like, they do push the controller big, and I mean, I'm assuming that an Xbox controller is probably going to work with this thing, because an Xbox controller already worked with Project Stream. And the reviews about the controllers, apparently it's fine, it feels good, it plays well, whatever. Like, I just, yeah, I, the idea that I need their controller is, not intriguing to me. Except the assist button thing that they talked a lot about, whatever. But outside of that, like, it's, yeah, take it or leave it.
Well, and the thing is like, Steam tried this with the Steam controller. Nobody wants a Steam controller.
Right.
Like, nobody's going to use that. Like, yeah. Sorry. And if you have that little assistant button and there's no other way to get to that assistant other than that little button, you're going to screw yourself.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be another way to access that. Again, even if it's just mouse and keyboard games, you know, like, you would imagine that they want to have the controller as a requirement to access those features. So, I don't know. I will say this, and I'm trying to remember if I mentioned this. I think it was on the roundtable where I mentioned that I got a free copy of Assassin's Creed after playing Project Stream. Like, they just gave me a copy, which, again, is super cool. Like, it's for me, that's building brand loyalty. I appreciate that a ton. And I've played some of Assassin's Creed now, both locally on my hardware and playing it streaming. And the gameplay isn't, like, it doesn't feel a ton different to me. And in fact, and this is shocking that I'm going to say this, but I truly feel this way, I prefer playing the game on Project Stream than I do playing it locally, because I multitask so much on my machine, because I'm working all the time or whatever, and so I'm alt-tabbing between stuff constantly. And the Project Stream, other than the fact that it timed out after 20 minutes, which caught me a couple times and was pretty annoying, outside of that fact, like, it didn't take a ton of system resources, and so I could multitask so easy. I know this is a very specific thing to me and not most people, but I'm laughing
over here because I know what you did. I know exactly what you did. You have a big monster rig just like I've got, but I can see, because I do it all the time. I have a browser open on the Mac that is full screen, and then I have other stuff going on the desktop. I know you well enough to know that you probably had, at least at one point, had the Mac open and docked and had that browser full screen and work on another desktop.
Oh, yeah.
And you were flipping back and forth.
That's my constant life. That is all the time. But it worked really well for that. And this isn't as much to say that I appreciate it because it works in the way that I play games that nobody else plays games. I do appreciate that. But that the experience that I had with Project Stream was so good that the fact that it was streaming isn't a hindrance to me wanting to play it that way. Even though, like, it would lag sometimes and, like, the draw distance would drop out on me every now and then, or frame rate would drop. But honestly, that happens when I'm running it locally, too, if I've got 37 tabs open in a browser that I have running behind the thing, you know? Like, if I shut everything down on my computer, it runs great, you know? But if I've got Chrome with 37 browser tabs open, it's going to lag it up, too. And so, it's shocking for me to say that I actually preferred having it accessible in a Chrome browser, But if I had to choose one or the other, I would choose going back to the Chrome browser version of it. It just really worked well for me. Again, I have gigabit internet. It's not going to do that for everybody. But eventually, you know, in the next 5 or 10 years, a sizable enough portion of the population is going to have fast enough broadband, even when we get into 5G wireless. Like, the latency thing's always going to be a question, but it's going to get close enough that they're going to be able to at least have enough reach to make it a stable, steady platform, I would guess.
Here's my issue, and this is not unique to me. CNET actually pointed this out. Google does not have a track record of stuff lasting 5 years. And the latest example of that is Google Plus. You think, well, nobody uses Google Plus, and we've talked about what I do on Second Life all the time. There were massive communities on Google Plus. And for the last 6 months, people have been scrambling trying to figure out where to post their stuff because Google Plus is shutting down. And Facebook doesn't allow avatar profiles and all these different things. And this video that I saw on CNET actually listed just a few of the things that Google tried, including Google Glass, that's already gone, right? And so unless it's like a massive success, there's no guarantee that's going to be here in 5 years. And if you buy a game and you have a massive library, then what happens?
Yeah.
And I know you got to deal with that with any new thing. I'm just saying, as they pointed out, Google doesn't have a real good record.
I would argue with that a little bit, in that there's plenty of things that Google's done that have been massively successful as well. For every Google Plus, there's, you know, a Pixel that's doing really well right now, or there's YouTube, for crying out loud, or whatever. You know, like, they also right. put resources behind things that are massively successful, and so they just do a lot. But yeah. they take a lot of risks, and this is definitely one. I wouldn't be shocked if it doesn't exist 5 years from now, in part because of the next thing we're going to talk about. But we'll get to that in just a second. Or I wouldn't be shocked if this is the primary way people are playing games in 5 years, to be honest with you, that it becomes like a mainstream platform for that. I could see it going either way.
I'm going to be totally honest and say we've said on this show for at least 5 years, this is the way gaming's going.
Yeah. It's coming. I don't know when, but it's coming. But one other point you made in there that I think is worth discussing here is, what does that economic model look like? Because I'm not going to be eager to lay down $60 for a game on this platform, but I kind of doubt they're going to ask me to. I don't know. Like, to me, this works if it's a subscription-based service. I don't think it works if it's an a la carte-based service. And that's the next also thing in the gaming world. And we've got news from Apple that's getting into that here in just a second, too. But the idea of games as service, the idea of a Netflix-type subscription model versus a pay-for-a-game model, I think is what this has to be built off of. Is that okay. $20 a month and you get access to whatever AAA games, that Ubisoft's catalog, for instance. I would imagine any new Ubi game is going to be on this because they've already established that partnership. If it works that way, then it's less risky to me, you know, in that, like, okay, if it doesn't succeed, then I'm not out of this money I laid down on games. I'm out of this subscription cost.
Okay, so that brings up an interesting question. And we've talked about subscription services before. Let's say it's a subscription service. And let's say they have like an EA Vault thing, which I just paid for another year.
Yep.
A month ago. I haven't touched it, but I don't care because I paid $30 and those games are there when I get there. let's say that it's that, right? And let's say that they get all these third-party folks on there that we know and love, right? How do they, if you're paying $50, if you're paying $60 a year, how do they get those publishers enough money to make it worth it?
That's a really good question that I don't have an answer for. And it's a bigger question even than this, in that like the game industry is going through massive restructuring right now. I saw a story, but it's not even in the news, but a story about, I think it was 350 people are being laid off from EA or something. You know, like we saw Telltale shut down. Like, as much as there's progress, there's also pain in new economic models of stuff. And this is changing that 100%. And I don't know what the answer to that is. It's the same way that I look at all these Netflix shows and go, how in the world is Netflix making any money? But they keep putting out original content, and so somehow they're making something. You know, like everybody has a Netflix subscription, but they're $12 or whatever a month, and I'm just like, it boggles my mind that they could be making them enough money to be continuing to do this, yet they're continuing to do this.
Look,
I don't know.
Here's the thing with Netflix. Netflix, and of course I'm the exception to this, I've talked about this, but Netflix is at a price point where it's another one of those things like the EA Vault that I pay it and I don't care. Like, you don't even know that it's there. Even if you don't watch anything on Netflix for a month, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
If you pay much more, let's say it's $25 a month, and they don't have, let's say they've got, I don't know what the number is, 4 games you want to play, 5 games you want to play. The question is, how much do you pay per month to be able to play those games and not put down $60? And I don't realistically know the answer, because let's take, for example, something that's happening right now, which is the Epic Games Store, right? They've got Metro, and they're the only ones that have got the new Metro. So am I, as a gamer, going to go to the Epic Games Store and buy the new Metro? Probably not, because it's not on the platform where I have everything else.
Yeah.
So you got to figure out where that threshold is. And realistically, I don't know what that threshold is in the number of games and the amount of money per month.
Yeah. I think that ratio, like AAA games to monthly subscription costs, is the biggest question about this. Of like, can they have enough stuff that this can be, for somebody like me who has the internet to support it, my primary gaming platform? Can this, you know, replace Steam for me on my PC? Not replace it, but mostly replace Steam as my primary gaming platform on a PC. If they can do that, and I can have access to, you know, not every game ever, obviously, but a selection that's similar to what I would find on Steam anyway, or what I'd be interested in playing on Steam, for a monthly subscription of $20 or $25 a month. Could I justify that to myself? I probably could. You know.
Hold up, but see, that's a different deal. If you tell me this on Steam, abso-freaking-lutely.
Well,
like, I don't even blink. But this thing, that's all of the deal. And I think that's the thing with Netflix. It's about the track record. Like, I'd give Steam whatever the number is, $25 a month.
Sure.
If they say you could play anything you want, I'd do that.
Absolutely. Yeah, in a heartbeat.
But they're not Valve.
Right.
I mean,
and it's a streaming service. It's not like,
yeah.
It's a million different things. Yeah, it's it's tough. So we're going to talk about this more. I'm going to move on because we've got a lot of other stuff to talk about. But Stadia is not going anywhere, at least in the near future. And so we'll be circling back around to this. The big competition that Stadia is going to have is going to come from Microsoft. And so this is, I'm going to just read this verbatim. It's five paragraphs long, so bear with me, but I'll read it quick. This is a memo supposedly from Phil Spencer that leaked after after the Stadia announcement. So from Microsoft talking about their future. Quote, "We just wrapped up watching the Google announcement of Stadia as team here in GDC. Their announcement is validation of the path we embarked on 2 years ago. Big point. We heard all these rumors. Okay, here it is. Phil saying this is our validation. Today, we saw a big tech competitor enter the gaming market and frame the necessary ingredients for success as content, community, and cloud. There were no big surprises in their announcement, though I was impressed by their leveraging of YouTube, as we talked about, and the use of Google Assistant and the new Wi-Fi controller. But I want to get back to us. There has been really good work to get us to the position where we are poised to compete for 2 billion gamers across the planet. Google went big today, and we have a couple of months until E3 when we will go big. We have to stay agile and continue to build with our customer at the center. We have the content, community, cloud team, and strategy. And as I've been saying for a while, it's all about execution. This is even more true today. Energizing times, Phil." That's what supposedly is coming from Microsoft on the heels of Stadia. And so, big shocker here, sarcastically, we're going to see Microsoft streaming whatever soon, E3 at the latest, and I think that could be potentially even more disrupting than Stadia in that Microsoft already has the established gaming clout.
Well, they have the clout, but as we've talked about for the last how many E3s, they don't have the software.
But what would Google have that they wouldn't?
That you got a point there.
They're not going to have Sony software.
I would venture to say that Google has got more money to buy more third party stuff.
Sure, they could eventually out exclusive Microsoft.
Right.
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, because let's face it, if a developer is waffling between where do I go, Microsoft says, "I'll give you this number," and then Google says, "That's great, I'll double it," and there you go, you know.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, Microsoft's not a small company.
No, they're not.
It's not Alphabet.
They're not, but would you argue that they're Google?
They're not, but they have the built-in fan base that Google doesn't yet. And I think for a developer to say, "Hey, we can give you this number, you know, money-wise, and we have 15 years proven as, you know, a gaming juggernaut and, you know, this fan base already built in," versus Google, who says, "We can give you twice as much money, but we have this service that isn't proven and we don't have a brand in gaming yet." At least in the short term, I would say that the advantage is to Microsoft. That becomes a wash maybe after a few years. I don't know. But I think
that becomes a wash after two. If they have two more years like they've had the last two, they got a problem.
Yeah. It's hard to argue. Maybe so. I don't know. There's just so many questions around this whole thing. It's what makes it really fun, and it's going to make E3 fascinating. Do you think Google shows up to E3? Do you think we get a Google E3 press event?
Absolutely, I do.
It would be fantastic.
I do. I think it's going to happen.
Sony doesn't come and Google does?
Yeah, I think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of E3... it's going to be about Stadia.
Stadia versus whatever Microsoft's thing is called. That's going to, like, I would guess that's going to be the story out of E3 is streaming games. Because we know Microsoft's going to make this big push on it.
And the crazy thing is, you know, Microsoft's trying to be ready for E3. My prediction is that Google shows up and they say, yeah, we told you about Stadia. And yeah, here's a look at the catalog we've got. And you can access all of it today.
Yeah.
And Microsoft standing there going, okay.
Yeah.
Here's what we've got. And the reason I say that is because Google doesn't need to test. They already did with Project Stream.
Yeah.
So all they got to do is have a reasonable catalog together by E3, and that's it. They take the show.
And a reasonable price point. That's yeah. The other caveat there. Yeah. Yeah. Man, it's going to be nuts. I don't even
I mean, look, here's the thing. They don't even really need a reasonable... I mean, they need a price point at E3, but the way the system is set up, they can say you can try Stadia in these games for 2 weeks, a month,
yep,
a month and a half, whatever it is, for free.
Yep,
and they instantly have a user base.
Yep, and the fact that they can run it on anything that can run Chrome. You know, that's Microsoft is going to be pushing hardware, even if it's a hybrid box. And even if they're also going to launch this on PCs as well. Do we see Stadia compatible on iOS devices that have a Chrome
yes.
browser? You would yes. imagine, right?
Yes.
So take that. And now let me throw in the next news story. So yes. Now Apple had an event. This is the craziest thing, man. So Apple had an event this week as well. They announced all kinds of new fun services that they're working on. The one that we are concerned about is called Apple Arcade. This is a different thing, but it is a subscription service that's going to be for mobile, desktop, and, quote, the living room, because they're pushing this Apple TV stuff as well. It's going to be a monthly subscription that gives you access to a bunch of games. And right now they're talking about it'll launch with over 100 new and exclusive games and talks about some of the creators like Will Wright that'll be part of this. And they will constantly be putting out more games and on and on and on. And so this isn't streaming games. And so it's different in that idea. This is going to be part of the app store, like a new page or new tab in the app store or whatever. But you pay the subscription cost. Again, we don't know what it is. Nobody's giving prices when they make these announcements. But then you get to go in and play these games. They apparently, this is something that they're promising, they won't have ads. They won't have additional purchases that it's going to be, you know, just games that you just get to play games. You have access to games, whatever, so on and so forth.
Let me ask you about this. Okay. Yep. You and I love Apple.
Yes.
And I am surrounded by a whole bunch of people that don't love Apple at work and various other places. You and I love Apple. I'm looking at my laptop right now, hoping that it holds together for, you know, two or three more years. Because as much as I love Apple, I'm not looking forward to going and buying another laptop because of what they've chosen to do with their hardware. That said, they got a whole bunch of services already that I don't use. Like Apple Music, iCloud. I don't really use iCloud. I don't pay for that. Like other things on the App Store, and you can fill in a zillion things in there. There's a lot of services from Apple that I don't use. Apple TV being another one. I know there are people that have an Apple TV. My brother's one of them. But I just have no desire. And so this is another one of those things that if you're a hardcore Apple person, and that's your environment, and that's what you know, and you have the Apple TV, and you have all this other stuff. I can see using it, but I don't really think it's going to be this massive new thing.
I'm curious about it. I think you could be right. It's also, you're absolutely right in that, especially based on price point, that's always a question here, but assuming that it's a reasonable price point, which for Apple is a big question, to be honest with you, but assuming it's a reasonable price point, I will pay for this on day one, because I have an iPhone, I have an iPad, I have a Mac, all places where I can play games, that I play more, and I've talked about this a lot over the past several years. I play more on my phone than I do anything else because I always have my phone with me, and the kind of games that are available on my phone, I can pick up and play for 5 or 10 minutes, you know, in between meetings or doing, you know, finish one task at work, I need to go do another task. I can do, you know, 5 minutes of wind down of a quick battle on a game or whatever it is. And so the idea of being able to have access to a lot more content on my phone that I can kind of, you know, go and play with and see if I like or don't like and not having to deal with ads and stuff, which is super annoying in a lot of games, is super appealing to me. Like, it makes a lot of sense. This is a place where I think there are a lot more people like me. I don't know if enough to make it a huge thing. I think probably enough to make it a thing. Maybe like Apple Music, maybe like Apple TV, that is not the first platform that people think of for gaming. But if you've got iOS devices, that then you're like, oh yeah, absolutely, that makes sense. And so
I think it's going to be exactly like Apple Music and exactly like Apple TV. It's going to be another service that you can bundle in with all your Apple stuff. The problem Apple has is whether it's Apple Music or Apple TV or this gaming service, there's other services out there on a large scale that are quote unquote better and cheaper. And can
for
you
all
make
those
that
other options, that's true, but not for games on the iPhone.
Yeah,
like there's nothing else like this on your phone. There's no other game service like this that gives you access to that quality content on your phone. And that's the difference for me. I use Spotify. I don't use Apple Music. I pay for Spotify every month. I, you know, have an Amazon Fire Stick connected to my TV. I, you know, whatever, you know, go on through the Apple products. There's a lot of them I don't use. But gaming on my iPhone is something I do all the time. And this is the only option at that point. And thus, I tell you right now, as long as the price point's reasonable, I will definitely buy this. I'm more confident in that than I am of whatever Microsoft puts out or Stadia. But this one is the one that's definitely going to get my money.
And they, you may be correct, because I believe there is a huge Apple base out there that is exactly like you.
Yeah.
Again,
the gaming component of it is different than those other components, and that there's not the same competition.
And I think
at this
funny,
point, Stadia may change that.
I think it's funny that you brought all of that up, because I love Apple products. We are recording this show on Apple products. We have for the last 10 years.
Yeah,
and before that we cringed every time we hit record because it's just not right. It's sacrilege.
Yeah.
And so we love Apple products. That being said, I don't have an iPhone. And I'm going to tell you something. I have a Galaxy S8, and somebody would have to pay me a lot of money to use an iPhone.
That's fair.
I love the Android. I love it. And I don't know why I feel that way, but I have no desire to go to an iPhone.
Yeah, and there's plenty of those people out there, too, that this isn't ever going to appeal to. And so it's definitely a different thing. Whereas, like, Stadia, you think, is going to be fine on an iPhone, an Android tablet, an iPad, your PC, your Mac, whatever. And so different things, fascinating nonetheless. Try to get through a couple more really quickly. We're on tab 4 of show notes. So go by gaminguncensored.com because we definitely aren't getting to everything. Let's briefly talk about Sony and the State of Play presentation, both in the content of it. We can talk about the games and that kind of stuff, but also in this kind of new approach that Sony's taking. So they did their first State of Play, which is essentially their version of a Nintendo Direct, and is what they're kind of pushing going forward. And what I would imagine that we'll see at E3 this year from Sony is that they'll do one of these kind of presentations with all their kind of E3 announcement stuff, as opposed to the press conference, which they've already told us they're not doing. And so it was quick. It was like 20 minutes long. It wasn't
the quick does not even cover it. like I turned it on and it was over. I had to go find a streamer that was streaming it and talking over to see it, because when I went to their feed, they were freaking gone.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, they started on the dot. They went from game to game to game, and they got out.
Yeah, it was tight. It was not fluff. I honestly would kind of prefer a little bit more, especially when we get closer to E3, of whatever they're doing like this around E3. I want a little bit more, not fluff, but I want a little bit more content. I want a little bit more depth to it.
You want
But I do
details.
Appreciate that they were just like, here
details,
are games.
Details, details, details. Absolutely. Details, 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 definitely.
So briefly, let's talk about what they showed off, because I'm fairly shocked in what they showed off. And that's a lot of VR. Like, it was very VR heavy. So quick rundown. They started with Iron Man VR, which is something I could get behind. Kind of cool, like, get in the Iron Man suit. I can see how that would be fun. No Man's Sky is going to be VR on PlayStation with the new Beyond expansion, which honestly I thought sounds really cool too. They showed Five Nights at Freddy's in VR, which looks horrifying. Not something I'm super into. The Trover Saves the Universe thing from Rick and Morty. I don't understand Rick and Morty or Trover Saves whatever. Apparently it's a big deal. People are pumped. They showed a golf game in VR. For only a 20-minute presentation, it was a very heavy dose of VR.
Okay, I know we gotta hurry, but we gotta make this point. You and I love VR.
Yes.
We must have a PlayStation VR.
Yes.
The guy who I was watching this thing, because apparently I missed the official stream. the guy who was streaming this thing was obviously not a VR fan. And he was like, well, okay, this is great for the five people that own PSVR. And granted, I'll give you that it's more than five, but it's not. I don't think it's a large section of the market.
Let me stop you just really briefly, because it's our next story in the show notes. Believe it or not, the number is 4.2 million units sold of PlayStation VR. There's about 100 million units of the PlayStation 4 sold. So the install base of PlayStation VR is about 4%.
Right, and that sounds about right. And,
yeah.
And I'm going to tell you that you and I must have one.
Yes.
But I can see, after watching that 20-minute presentation, I mean, for crying out loud, it takes me longer to get coffee at some points. Yeah. I can see how, after watching that 20-minute presentation, of which about 70% was VR, how some people would be frustrated.
Yes. Yeah, again, it's about 4% install base right now. And obviously what Sony's trying to do is get that number up. They want to sell more of this hardware. But I can't imagine it capping out at more than 10% if they blow the doors off of it. You know, like, it's just never going to be a massive part of the PlayStation ecosystem at this point. But I don't think they care about that side of it. I think they're just trying to make it a thing as far in as they can get it. And so God bless them for that. They're going to get us. We love VR. And so we'll be there eventually. it's just, and maybe it's because it's their first one. They wanted to, you know, at least do something kind of
edgy's not the right word, but outside the box. Let's rephrase that. We'll be there when this, when Duff decides we need to be there, because I've been told multiple times over the last 3 weeks by Duff that we're the reason he bought a PlayStation 4. Yeah. So when Duff decides we need one, that's when we'll be there, because he's driving this bus.
he's totally driven VR for Gaming Uncensored at this point, so. That's fair. I doubt we see the same proportion focus on VR as we get closer to E3. I think they're going to, obviously, they didn't talk about any of the big games from E3 last year. They didn't talk about Death Stranding. They didn't talk about, well, Spider-Man's out, so I guess that one doesn't count as much. But they didn't talk about The Last of Us 2. It wasn't a focus on those titles. They did talk about Mortal Kombat 11. Spent some time on that. They did talk about Days Gone, the zombie game that is kind of like, I get excited about it, then I lose interest, and I get excited, then I lose interest, and so I don't know what that game's going to be, but they're still pushing it, and so we'll see what happens there. They showed off, what's that game called? Concrete Genie that we saw at E3 last year. They showed off that some more, which looks really cool, and so... They've got software. It's not something that PlayStation's lacking. It's just going to be really interesting to see what their approach to this, you know, new world of hardware is going to be. If they announce a streaming service too, or a subscription. I mean, they already have a subscription service and a streaming service, I guess, huh? They're already in this world. They've recently changed their streaming service to also be download service. And so, it'll be interesting to see what Sony's approach in all of this is as well with PlayStation 5 or whatever they call it. So, but it'll be in at least partially one of these state of play things, which...
Can I ask you something about this?
Yep.
Because I'm curious about your thoughts. You said you wanted more, not fluff, but more detail.
Yes.
Okay, so I feel like I'm not interested in watching three more of those throughout the year. Like, I feel like they have to run it like a mini E3 or PlayStation, whatever that thing was called last year when they did it, event where you have a guy on the stage with developers and that type of stuff. Like, we say we want games all the time, but you know what? You had 20 minutes and you were trying to cram as many of those games in there as you could. The problem was, all the ones you crammed in weren't really blockbusters.
Yeah.
So you gotta have, I feel like you gotta have that E3 feel if you're gonna continue to do this.
I do too, especially as we come up on E3, because it's this kind of a big moment in the gaming calendar. I don't think every single one of them needs to be that. And so, again, I think starting out with kind of this big highlight on PlayStation VR for this first one in March is probably the best place to do that and then ramp up from there going forward. But I do agree with you. What I would like to see from these in the future isn't necessarily like a press conference kind of vibe, but like a stage demo kind of vibe. That we see gameplay with developers sitting down and talking about it as the gameplay is happening with some of these titles. Because, like, the Iron Man game, like, I'm interested in that, but I want to know more about it. Like, okay, like, tell me about the background. Tell me about the story. Tell me about the gameplay. Like, what's this experience going to be like outside of, like, oh, you put the PlayStation VR on and now you're Tony Stark in the Iron Man suit. You know, like, okay, cool. Got the premise, you know, like, now is it fun? that's what you can convince me of more so with a stage demo kind of approach.
To me, it looked like it was on rails.
Yeah.
As far as the flying and stuff went. And if that's the case, I'm not that interested.
Yep.
And you have to explain that. You have to be clear about it because, yeah, you were doing the shooting and all of that. But as far as the flying goes, I didn't see any place anywhere where it looked like the player was in control of that.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I have no clue on that side of things. And so those are big questions that it would help to have a more detailed presentation. And I'm sure they'll do that more again up to and around E3 and as they're announcing new stuff in the future. Quickly, I mentioned Nintendo, so I'll throw in the Nintendo rumor again here. So we've already heard the rumor for a while that we're going to get a new Switch this year. The latest rumor is that we're going to get two new Switches this year. One that's going to be essentially what we've been talking about, which is kind of slimmed down, maybe smaller version, maybe mobile-only version that will also maybe be cheaper. But the other one is like a higher def version, a more powerful version that would potentially have better screen and more graphical power behind it or whatever. And I really like that idea.
Are you kidding me? Like, I really love that idea.
Yeah.
Like, where is this? Here's my money.
Yes.
Take my money. Like, seriously. We love PlayStation VR. We love it. We're going to have one. We're going to have it when Duff decides that we need it. The Switch is not that.
Yeah.
You tell me that we're going to get a bigger, more powerful Switch. Yeah, give me that. Like, here. Like, I don't even have it. It's not in my house. It's in your house. Like, all I've seen is Zelda and some of the other great. I've not even ever held the thing in my hands. But here, take my money.
Yep.
Take it.
Yep.
That's how I feel about that.
100%. 100%. I'm with you every step of the way there. So we can hope, and again, another possible big announcement around E3. I'll mention, just because this is something that you and I geek out about, Quantic Dream Games, including Heavy Rain, Beyond Two Souls, and Detroit Become Human, which is a really new game. By the way, shout out to Chad, who's been playing it and apparently really dug it, are all coming to PC this year, which is super cool, especially considering the first taste we ever had of Quantic Dream was Fahrenheit on the PC many years ago. These are games that work well in PC world, and so coming to PC. And to bring it back to the Epic Game Store, will be exclusive to the Epic Game Store, at least for a period. It doesn't say how long, but will be a timed exclusive to the Epic Game Store.
Well, crap, there goes my life. If Detroit is available, there goes my life.
I know, right? I've got that set in my house and haven't touched it yet. Releases really quick. Sekiro, I don't know how to say it. I'm going to butcher it every time. Shadows Die Twice is getting rave reviews. 90s on
Cabbage likes it.
Cabbage really digs it, apparently. I've only heard great stuff about that game. It's one of those like super hard games that we would terribly suck at, but it looks really good. The Division 2, I think, since last time we did releases, is out and has also gotten pretty good reviews, kind of surprisingly so. It's getting a lot of press, and so good for them. I'm trying to think if there was anything else big. There's been a lot of stuff. Devil May Cry, I think we mentioned last time we did a show, but Devil May Cry 5 is out as well. So, So, and I think the new MLB The Show game, I think, just came out today, maybe. But baseball starts on Thursday, so you know I'm pumped.
Yeah, I knew it was coming. Like, it's creeping up, and he's getting excited.
Opening day on Thursday.
Excited. So, yeah,
man. Good stuff. So,
what's the? I guess it's not gonna happen this year. But what do we have to do on this show to make opening day a thing?
I don't know.
Cause like we really need to make it a regular thing that we're at a game somewhere on opening day.
That would be fantastic. I would dig that. We need money. Hey, go by GamingUncensored.com and become a patron. We'll go to baseball games on your money.
Hey, I want to tell you, Patreon people, do you hear what he just did? He is convinced after 13 years that asking you people for some on the show works. When I started doing it 14 years ago, he'd roll his eyes and shake his head and say, I don't know that I know that guy, but now he knows it works. So listen, he's pitching. I win.
Yep. 100%. It works. So thank you, guys. We appreciate it. So, go by GamingUncensored.com because there's tons of show notes we missed. And so, the good stuff over there to keep you held over until next show, which probably won't be as newsy because we won't have GDC and everything else going on. There's tons of GDC stuff we didn't even scratch the surface of because of all the other news. So,
yeah
go by the show notes, GamingUncensored.com.
What's crazy is we could come back tomorrow and we'd have enough for a whole other show.
Yeah, we could have talked about Stadia for 2 hours for crying out loud. So, yeah, there's lots going on.
I am really happy about the state of games right now. I'm really happy about where we're at. And I'm happy that the summer is coming. Because that means E3 is coming and we've got more to talk about and deal with. I'm very, very happy to be doing this show, and we may have new listeners out there today. If you are new to this show because you saw our ad last week and 3,000 plus eyeballs did, welcome to Gaming Uncensored. No, I'm not drunk, and no, he's not my keeper. We are totally random. This is what we do. And if you're new to the show, welcome. We're glad to have you.
You're still here at this point. Hopefully you enjoyed it.
That advertising thing is freaky. And we're going to be doing more of that because I'm slowly figuring it out as we go. And so if you're new to the show, thank you so much for listening. We hope you don't stop after this one episode. What else is there, sir? We got the voicemail line at
509-GAME-210. It's been a while since we had anything in the voicemail, so somebody try it out. Just let us know it's still working.
Yes, and we promise we'll play whatever we get at some point.
Yeah, and if like we bang again and you did call, let us know. GamingUncensored@gmail.com and tell us our voicemail line isn't working because it's broken when we don't realize it. So
yeah, and we need to get another one.
Yeah.
Like if it's not working, we need to get another one because we want to talk to you people. And believe it or not, if we ever get to the point where we are in the same room on a regular basis again, we will be the people sitting in our houses, streaming, waiting to get online with you guys. We will be those snobs, and we will not care.
Absolutely.
So we want to get involved with you guys. We want you guys to be around. If you want to get involved, you can do that a zillion different ways. The voicemail line is one. The email is another. GamingUncensored@gmail.com. The Facebook page is always hopping. We have a group on Facebook. We have Twitter. What else, sir?
I think that's most of it.
All right. Yeah. For now, I'm Jamie. That's Tommy. And for one more week, we are Gaming Uncensored. And despite bad internet, we're still here. We are out.
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gamingUncensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.